Well, I can't go anywhere else or think about anything else right now except continuing from Wednesday night. And it really does have, it'll fall in the vein of worship also. You'll see that before we're through here. But I'm going to bring out a couple of aspects still about answered prayer, receiving answers to your prayer. I'm finding out that a lot of people haven't been taught some of the what I call the fundamentals of how do you receive things from God. See, and things that had I not learned them, I know I never would have made it to Dave Roberson because I would have died of cancer in 1990. And it was the things that I had learned about faith and how to receive from God and doing it God's way. And see, last Wednesday especially, we talked about the people could not possess the promised land. God says, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. There's a way to pray where you can receive, and there's a way to pray that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death, you know. Most people think, well, if I'll pray, and then if I see the answer, then I know it was God's will. That is not any way at all God's way of prayer. It's not at all His way. That's praying by circumstances, or it's something, but it's not what God calls His way of receiving answers to your prayer. So I'm not going to reteach Wednesday night. I've got a specific part of it we're going to look at in detail. But go to Mark 11:24. I'll get your mind going down this path again. And you need to make notes. I'm telling you, this sounds real logical when you're here in the class. But when you have a need out there and you're not accustomed to this, you'll fail. You'll revert back to what seems natural to a human. And that's not... God says, my ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. If we do it His way, we'll get His results. And I'm all about that. Now, right on the other hand, people have taken these simple truths and perverted them to live by greed. I'll just tell you right now, it's like, okay, everything is it's all about me, my four, no more. All of this goes right hand in hand along with He's the boss. We're the disciple. He's the master. We're the servant. God's our Father. We're His children, but we're children the way Jesus was His child. Jesus, the absolute, any problem with Him being the Son of God? But absolutely surrendered to the Father's will. And by His own free will choice, too. Well, with that in mind, with that kind of heart attitude, still, this is the way you pray. So Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. It just sounds so simple, doesn't it? Let me go through a few of the things from Wednesday night. I'm going to go quickly now. There's lots of pages. We're going to hit the white caps, okay? Number one, decide what you want from God. Sometimes you've got to pray about that. Sometimes, the Holy Spirit told me one time if I'd pray and listen, He would help me with my petitions. Because a lot of times I'm too ignorant to even know what I'm going to need. I remember one time in particular, after I had heard that instruction, I don't do it as regularly now as I did then, but I was training myself at the time. I had daily confessions about our ministry income. I thank you that Gary Carpenter Ministries has a minimum of zama, whatever the dollar figure was at the time, every month. And I was doing that like normal at the Ugly Building, praying. And the Holy Ghost, I hope I had these numbers right now. It's been so many years. Y'all forgive me if I'm off a little bit, but the spirit of this is right. I think it was $4,800. He says, I want you to increase that confession. It might have been $4,200 a month. I just don't remember it. In that ballpark, $4,000 roughly. I like to ask the question, how many of y'all would like it if God increased your income by $4,000 a month? See, every hand always goes up, nearly every hand. And then I followed up with this, though, because this is the way it was. But would you still like it if not one penny of that $4,000 was for you to spend? See, that's what I was learning at the time. What he knew that I didn't know was that our ministry was about to change. And we were going to need that much money a month. So sure enough, I just changed the confession. I mean, I made a petition. I changed the confession. I raised it by that amount. It didn't change for like the next 30 days. And I didn't do anything in the natural to make anything happen. But after that next 30 days, you could plot it on a bar chart. Sure enough, the income. People just started giving more. And, you know, it wiggled a little bit. But the average was right at the same as what he told me to increase. The Holy Ghost will help you with your petitions. But sooner or later, get it straight, you have to decide what it is that you're going to pray about. What is it you want? What is it you're going to ask? Okay, then there's three subheadings under that one. Once you make that decision, find scriptures that promise you that thing or those things. Find them. You don't have to find every one that's in the Bible, but you need I like to have a minimum of three, because the Bible says by two or three witnesses let every word be established. I like to have three, and I'd like at least one of them to be from the Old Testament. I want some from both. I want New Testament and Old Testament, because everything that truly is real casts a shadow. Okay? And if it's real, you're going to find a shadow in the Old Testament somewhere. Okay? All right? So subheading number two. Get these promises firmly fixed in your heart, not just in your mind. A lot of people are trying to operate by faith, and it's really nothing more than head knowledge at that point. You have to sometimes... I'll take you back to when he had me confess those scriptures and confess them and confess them and think about them. It has to literally become part of you. It has to... You are what you eat. Okay? And knowledge is not... Head knowledge is not faith. Get that straight. Faith is an issue of the heart, not the head. Now, you have to have knowledge. The head is involved in developing heart faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing or reading. You got to hear what God says one way or another. You got to get that knowledge. So your head is involved, but eventually it's doubt not at where? Doubt not in your where? Doubt not in your heart. Okay, number three, subheading under that first one. Be ready to use those verses against the devil, not if he attacks, when he attacks. Now, you just got to get it straight, dear heart. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. You're not going to get a free pass. At least I've never yet known anybody that got one. Okay? The closest I've ever seen to a free pass was me when I prayed for that printer in the morning and got it in the afternoon. That was a good one. I liked that. I wish they'd all be answered that way, but anyway. Now, important, do not go on to step two. Most people do, though. They hear me say, oh, that's funny, yeah, that's funny, and then they do it. They barely found three verses. They barely, you know, they wrote them down a while ago, and they're already ready to go pray. No, you're not ready to go pray. Get those verses down on the inside of you. Get it to where you know what you know. Okay. Ask God, so step one, decide what you want. Step two is ask. Ask God for the things you want and believe you receive them when you pray. Many people says, if God wants me to have it, He'll give it to me. That is not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, your Heavenly Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. Now, somebody got that confused, and it's a good question. They said, well, Dave said one time that, you know, if one of his kids came to him and showed him their adoption papers and, you know, you got to feed me, you know. Well, he was making a point. What he was making a point on there, he was not saying don't ever ask God for what you need. He was saying people are going to go storm the gates of heaven, or they're going to demand their rights. They're going to go to God and demand. That's the wrong attitude. God is not like that at all. He is your Father. He is your provider. It's really more of a legal transaction. The reason why we ask, it's so that God can legally move in this earth. We cannot spend the time there. But it's because Adam's lease hasn't completely run out yet. Previews of coming attractions. When I say that, maybe 3 years from now. The dispensation we're living in is very much like King David. During that period of time where he had been anointed king by the prophet Samuel, But yet he had not ascended to the kingship literally in Jerusalem. Saul, who is a type of the first man Adam, the anointing had been taken away from him. He had lost the anointing. He was king in name only. Who was God's king? David. Who was officially on the throne? Saul. All right. Jesus is Lord. In the new heaven and the new earth, there's not even going to be any resistance. Okay, the devil's going to be thrown in for 1,000 years and all of that. We'll get into that other times. But where we are right now, Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. But until, some people say it this, until Adam's lease runs out, I'd rather say it this way, until this world is consumed by fire. At the end of this age, in the New Testament, Satan is still called the God of this. Why? Well, because it's not over yet. We're in that's why they have that time period in the Old Testament where Saul was still officially king, but he had no anointing. David had been anointed king, but had not actually ascended to the throne yet. That's kind of where we are. Okay? And you can live in David's kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, but to legally have that kingdom come to earth now, it's more of a legal transaction. That's more why we have to pray. It's not like he's not wanting to give it to us. It's how he can legally invade this dark planet with the kingdom of light. I said that really good. I'm going to write that down when I get home and put my name on it. Even though it's the Holy Ghost doing it. Glory to God, he lets me do that. Got that? No, we're his kid. He paid a terrible price for me to be his child. He's not like, you don't come like, here's my covenant rights. And I was taught that. I was taught to do that. You got to go with your covenant rights and persuade him. Oh, he's wanting to answer your prayer worse than you're wanting it answered. It's more of a legal thing than it is anything else, but it has to be done. That's why Jesus said, pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. I know as parents, my kids don't normally come to me and say, Daddy, give me a bread today. Well, they kind of do. But they say it a little different. I want a sandwich. Fix me a sandwich. Hopefully when they're older, they're just going to make their own sandwich. But you're right. In a home, parents, we don't normally do that. But these transactions that occur by faith between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, these manifestations, if you'll allow me, from the realm of the spirit to the realm of the material, that's a legal penetration. That's a legal transaction. And asking has a lot to do with it. Get into more of that another time. Okay? Does that help a little bit? All right. But Dave wasn't coming against prayer. He was coming against that attitude of, You have to take care of me. I demand my rights. Trust me, that's not the attitude to approach God, okay? My kids don't approach me that way, and I would be offended if they did. Well, sometimes I can't give them everything that they want, even if I'd like for them to have it, okay? I can't always. But the good thing about our God, He can always. Okay? He can. All right, let's go on now. So never ask God for the things you want. Believe you receive them. Don't get suckered into that trap. If he wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. You need to go ask. Believe you receive when you pray. Now, boy, I got so much on there, we're going to skip a lot of that. But this one part's really important. It says, let me ask you this. Believe you receive them and you shall have them. So when are you going to have them? Don't answer me. When are you going to have them? After you believe you have received them. Did you get that? So, when is it coming? After you have believed you received the answer. Let me say it the opposite. When do you believe you received them? Before you have them. Did you get that? Somebody said that helped them to hear it that way. I gave the testimony about that guy whose pancreas did not work for 30 years. 30 years a man had to take insulin shots. And he began hearing these truths about faith at age 55. But it took him 14 years, hearing it, not all the time, but hearing it occasionally. So finally one day, he got it, and can you imagine asking if a doctor has watched you and your pancreas hadn't made insulin in 30 years, you think they think it's ever going to? His did. And then when he was asked, well, what happened? How did you receive that miracle? He said, it finally dawned on me what Jesus was saying. He says, I kept So I kept thinking my prayer would be answered when I didn't have to have the insulin anymore. And that's not the answer. My job was to believe that I received it when I prayed. So I'd several times a day, sometimes for an hour, I'd just say, I believe I have received my healing. I'm healed from sugar diabetes. I'm healed from sugar diabetes. He said, I'd have to take my insulin shot, and I'd take it. I believe I've received my healing. See, the devil would come and say, you're not healed. He said, you're right, devil. I didn't say I had it. My job is to believe that I have received it. And if I do that, Jesus will make sure that I get it. Now, that's correct. You don't throw away your medicine. You keep taking your medicine. It's like me. I threw away my medicine because some faith preacher told me to. I said, okay. You know, I heard a testimony. Sounded good. I got prayed for. I threw away my medicine. Nearly died. You know? And I had to come back and do exactly the same thing. I had to start taking my medicine and confessing the word. And I believe I received my healing. And I thank you, I have a new heart and just whatever. And over a 2-year period, God weaned me off of that medicine. That was May again of 1998. This is September of 2010. And I've never had another dose. I have had some marvelous opportunities to believe I wasn't healed. About seven times. The devil come around with his counterattack. We did Satan's counterattack a few weeks ago. Don't receive it. Just because he comes knocking at your door don't mean you got to accept the package. I told someone the other day, they thought they were coming down with a certain disease, and I said, you can have it if you want it. Just accept it. They didn't accept it. I got through to them, and they don't have it either. If they'd gone the other way, they'd be having it right now. Okay. See, just what is it God can heal? Nothing. I don't believe in incurable diseases. Hallelujah. Anyway. Alright, so much there. I gotta jump over it. Alright. Come down to the step 3 is really what I want to talk about tonight. Let every thought, this is step 3. And boy, you need to get Wednesday nights. See all those pages? I'm leaving out a ton of stuff. Let every thought affirm that you have received what you prayed for. Trust me. The devil's going to attack. You're going to have thoughts come. You're going to have circumstances come against you that's going to make it look exactly the opposite of what you're trying to believe for. And if doubts persist, and they will, because the devil's a persistent cuss. Cuss is a good word. Rebuke them, and I mean with your mouth. There is an enemy. All those thoughts, every thought that occurs in your brain is not you. Sometimes, especially when thoughts of doubt are persisting, rebuke that thing. Just call it what it is. Doubt? I rebuke you. You shut up. I resist you. Get away from me. You know, fear tries to, we're going to talk about fear in a minute. Fear, well, I remember that. I've been through this. That I was in Chicago the night before I was going to fly back before the cancer surgery. And I got to tell you, I was by myself. I'd been up for about 3 days because of truck troubles, so I hadn't slept hardly, so I was in a vulnerable place, and tomorrow is the surgery, and you know, the first doctor said I had 6 months to live, and I'm by myself, and fear kept trying to come on me, you know, and I kept seeing myself in a grave again. Man, I had to fight that and say it out loud, call it out loud. I didn't dare call any of my well-meaning. The only person I called was Sue, glory to God. I got a warrioress. What do you call that? A warrioress? She will fight with me. She will stand with me. And bless God we won. Let's talk about fear for a minute. Let's just talk about fear. Let's talk about this area. Wednesday night I got to talk about it some. Probably going to talk about it more Wednesday night, okay? But where we went, you can go ahead and go there. Philippians 4. Philippians 4. The best passage, in my opinion, in the Bible when it comes to dealing with doubt and fear. Chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Now notice how this is worded. Consider, maybe, you might think about thinking... on these things. Is that the way it's worded in your Bible? In mine, it sounds like a command to me. Think on these things. You know what that means? You can. I just can't help it. I'm worrying. I'm telling you. I understand. Chicago, that night, I know. I'm telling you, fear kept trying to come on me. And I didn't even have to close my eyes to see myself in a casket. I mean, it was bad. It was coming on me hard, you know. And I've had relatives in my family die of cancer. And so, I mean, it was coming on me. And I didn't know as well then what I know now, but I knew that I couldn't let my mind dwell there. That I knew it wasn't God putting those images in my head. Well, I thank God that I knew that. Kind of church I was raised in, I wouldn't even have known that. See? You don't see Jesus putting cancer on anybody. Cancer is always the devil. Get it straight. It's always the devil. It's always an enemy. It's always God's will to heal it. Preaching tonight. It says, think on these things. Well, I just can't. Yes, you can. Now, if you brought something to write on, you need to write this down. I just got, this is recent. I'm not going to go back and try and change all my tapes. Hey, we're all getting better as we go. I have said for years, because I believed it was true, that the opposite of faith was fear. And only recently did the Holy Ghost show me that's not true. Let me tell you how I know it for sure. Perfect love casts out fear. Is the opposite of love. Fear is the opposite of love. Perfect love casts out fear. Well, what is the opposite of faith? The opposite of faith is works. The opposite of faith is works. You're either trusting in the finished work of Christ, or you're working to earn something from God. It is good. It's real good stuff. Now see, now I'm understanding more. Perfect love casts out fear. Now this is where it ties in with the worship message, which I know, because Dave, last Sunday morning at 8:30, Dave had the exact same verses marked in his Bible. He showed them to me, that Mark Jenkins taught on. He thought he was going to leave out the last one, whatever it was. He says, well, maybe he'll leave me that one. No, he did that one too. Now, when that kind of thing's going on, you know, we're getting the mind of Christ for the season we're in. All right? Faith, real faith. See, you know who has faith in our house? I'll tell you somebody who has real faith. She's my granddaughter. That little girl, she had perfect love from Papa. Has cast out all fear. She knows she can really do no wrong in my sight. Now, does that mean I don't ever get on to her? No, but she knows if I am getting on to her, it's for her own good. See, we're at that point. She's only three. She'll come and ask me for stuff, and I can't resist her. I can't. I try. And I look, and I go, no, I can't. You know? And, you know? Anyway, I could get into all kinds of... But it is the perfect example. She doesn't have any fear. She has she come to Papa's house. It's going to be a good time. We're going to have a good time at Papa's house. She's not afraid at all. Perfect love. And I think, God, if I ever get like that with my daddy. See, I've said, I have understood, you know, being a grandparent does help you. Because I know how I feel about my kids and my grandkids. And I get to thinking, you know, if my father, my heavenly father, if he feels about me, in any measure, the way I feel about those grandkids, then I know I'm living way below my inheritance. He's got a lot more for me than what I'm walking in. But see, we've got to mature and grow up into that. Well, think on those things. This is a command. This is one of God's ways. And I didn't realize it so much. Because notice what he says. He says, those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, if you do them, the God of peace shall be with you. And the way I like to say that, if words mean anything, if you don't, if you choose not to, then that peace is not going to be with you. That reminds me of another verse. Let me find it here. Go. Yeah, you're right. Let's back up to 6, 7, and 8 here now. You're right. 6. be careful for nothing. That's a little blind to us in the King James. I like it. This one I like in the Amplified better. It says, don't fret or be worried about anything. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, that's King James. Amplifies, do not fret or have any anxiety about a few things. No. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Anything? Anything? Remember, I told you a while ago now, the opposite of faith is works. And the opposite of love is fear. I'm not looking at anybody. This is not directed towards anybody. Anywhere that you're fretting, worrying, or having anxiety, in that area right there, you're not convinced of His love. You're still an orphan. You still think He's not going to come through for you. You're not in faith. Quiet in here now. Gary, can you give any examples? Oh my God. I can give you good ones and bad ones and in-between ones, you know. Sometimes I've done pretty good, like the cancer thing. Thank God, that was important. Other times, and I did really good with our kids. We did really good because our kids, you know, all three of them went into rebellion at the same time. They were all teenagers or 2 years apart. They got into such rebellion, they were beyond us. So we had to learn to cast the whole of our care over on God when it came to them. And but see, I'll tell you the areas where it was the hardest, and that was an area of finances. It was really hard to learn these things in the area of finances. And there is a responsibility. I keep saying again and again and again, there's lots of New Testament scripture about get a job. That primary number one way that God provides for His children is through a secular job. And it's all through the New Testament. So unless He specifically, and I don't mean a feeling, I don't mean I felt led. I mean, I want to know what He said, where you were when He said it. Can you tell me the words? Unless He called you specifically into full-time ministry, then, or you're a widow, or you're retired, or, you know, there's other reasons. But I'm saying in the normal thing, then you're supposed to have a job. That's the way He does it. But see, the job is never supposed to become your security. That's what happens. People start, they make the job their security. No, He is your security. You know? Go to 1 Peter 5 for just a minute. Oh, I didn't. Did I finish? Yeah, I did. Okay, that's good enough. 1 Peter 5. Starting in verse 6. All right. Just reading it here, it says, 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. How would I do that? Well, casting some of your care. Is that what yours says? Casting all of your care upon Him. Now see, this is what a lot of people don't believe, for He careth for you. He does too. Well, I don't know. Have you seen my circumstances? We're not talking about the devil's gospel. The devil's gospel. Do you know that's what he uses to preach to you all the time? His circumstances. That's his gospel. That's why the just live by faith and not by sight. If you're going to receive truth from circumstances, which most people do, most humans, that's the way they live, you're never going to really see God. You're not going to see His power. No, you got to believe the gospel that's not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. I said it real good here in one of these lessons. Faith will cause you, here it is, faith will cause you to live your future before you get there. You know that works with fear. You know it works with worry. You know what my mom, who's 90, you know, you get a little wisdom about 90. Get a lot of wisdom. Her analogy, her description of fear, here's the way she says it. She says, you know what fear and worry and anxiety and all that, you know what that's like? She said, that's like being in a rocking chair. You can get really good at it. You can do it a lot. You can do it with all your might for hours. And when you're through, it didn't get you anywhere. She said, that's exactly all that worry and fretting and all that. You can get really good at it. You can do it for hours. And when it's over, you didn't get anywhere. It didn't help you at all. But she says, faith, and now she knows the Lord's known Him longer than anyone in here has been alive. She says, but now faith and trust in the Lord, that'll get you somewhere. That'll get you somewhere. Hallelujah. My mama can preach. All right. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, Dave was the first one I ever heard break this next verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, doesn't say he is a roaring lion, but as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, it's important that you understand this letter is not written to unbelievers. It's written to believers. And it's saying, be careful. He's as a roaring lion. He's seeking those he can devour. And meaning, he might be able to do it. You better watch. See? But I used to just know verse 9, and the answer is really verse 7. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Well, I used to think that, how do you resist? I resist you. I rebuke you. I command money to come and I command you to go. And, you know, and there's a place for some of that. But how you resist Him is verse 7. What is it that makes you devourable? It's the care. It's the worry. It's the fretting. It's the fear. You don't... And fear is the opposite of love. The only reason you're... You think Lily is going to be afraid? Some bully come up? I hope he's not too big, but... I'll tell you what... She may not know it yet, but I know it. See, I would die before I'm going to let anything happen to her. She already senses that. I don't know, she can't put it in words, but she senses that, you know. We had a bee get loose out in the backyard, boy. I mean, the wrath of God came down on that bee. Now, it was around my granddaughter. I mean, I had that straw hat and I was a smacking that thing and it died to death. You know. Fear is the opposite of love. It's a lack of love. And it's not knowing Him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what He told me on the way down here. Now, get this. Get this. This is good. This is going to help you. Now, listen. Here's what he gave me this analogy. He said, knowing how Lily is with me, okay, he says, would she be that same way if all she'd ever done was read a book about you? You know, she might read the book and somebody else, you know, there's the words. Well, your papa's like this, he's like that, he likes to give good things. I mean, she would be hopeful maybe based on that book. Now, I'm just saying it's true and it only said good things about me. You know, it might give her an anticipation of good things, you know. But you know, in a crunch, if there'd never been any relationship, if there'd never been any fellowship, if she hadn't spent time nestled up against my chest, me hugging that baby... You know what she likes to watch with Papa? Don't write me no letters. Wipe out. Do y'all even know what that is? Oh, it's this show on TV where the contestants are trying to make it through these obstacles and they fall in the water. She calls it iPow. I want to see iPow with new Papa. iPow. iPow. I didn't know what it was at first. Finally, it came on TV. She goes, iPow. So I tape them now. I record them now. So when she comes to the house, we can watch iPow together. And she'll just lean up against you and go, popcorn. Yes, sir. You know, there you go. Popcorn. I've become the servant. I'm the slave here. And it's okay. I love it. I love it. But after, you know, that those kind of experiences and me, I'm the one that, you know, blows up the pool out in the back and fills it with water, and I put the little suntan lotion all over little, you know, shoulders and everything. Hours upon hours of intimate fellowship. There is no comparison between what she feels towards me. If she'd only all she'd ever had was a book. Now the book is good. It could be a good book. I love the Word. You guys know I love the Word. But listen, we're in a season of worship for a reason. And He's drawing us into a time of fellowship. I don't know if there'll be popcorn. But I know it will be probably more enjoyable. I was asking the Lord today, I said, why does it seem... I love fellowship with Lily. I love fellowship with Sue. Worship is hard for me. I mean, I don't know why that is. And hopefully I'll know more about that. But I do know there's a struggle to spend that same amount of time fellowshipping with Him. Well, all I know is we're going to get past that. I don't know everything about it yet either. Okay? I'm glad Dave has gone ahead of us and pioneered some of these things, and we can learn some of the things from him and some of the things even Mark, you know, this morning. But I know it shouldn't be like that. I'm thinking, my goodness, fellowship with him ought to be sweeter than fellowship with Lily or fellowship with Sue. It ought to be. I think it was with Jesus. When I think about the firstborn, I don't know for sure. I mean, I wasn't there, but I'm excited. I'm excited to find out that the opposite of fear is love. And that helps me with this worship more than anything has in a long time. I'm going, okay. Because I know my Father to some extent. I know about the book. I've seen Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I know He doesn't put cancer on people. I know He doesn't make car wrecks happen to people. I know all kinds of things about my Father because I've seen Jesus. But that's still not the same. Curling up next to him, or however we visualize it, spending time with him the same way that Lily or Sue spends time with me. But I believe that can change. You know what I think? I look at this young lady. See, when I see someone at so young that the world wants, you know, the world would pay a high price for you, see. And when I see someone like her, that has left everything, her friends and family, for the most part, everything she knew. Why? Because she wants to come and know God better. Don't tell me that doesn't please the Father. Don't you let the devil beat you up. I don't care. I think he looks at you the same way I look at Lily. You know? Lily can put her fingers right in the peanut butter jar and I don't even care. Now, I can't do that. I get in trouble. You know? But I think he feels that way about us. I think he's as crazy over us as I am over Lily. And I'm not leaving Cole out. He's just older now, you know. All right. Our time is up. As you could tell, this subject, we could go on a lot. Review. Review quickly. Number one, decide what you want from God. Get scriptures that covers your case. Do whatever you have to do to get those scriptures from your head to your heart. Okay? And be ready to use them now, just like Jesus did, when the devil attacks. He didn't try and think the devil away. He opened his mouth and he let the Word of God come out. You do the same thing. Those scriptures you're standing on, you use them against the devil. Number two, ask God for those things that you want. Believe you receive when you pray. You don't have to have it yet. It says believe you receive it. And if you are steadfast about believing you receive it when you pray, Jesus will see to the fact that you get it. You don't have to worry about that. Then, let every thought stay true. I like to say, going to use the same words. Let every thought affirm that you have received what you asked for. Never permit a mental picture of failure to stay in your mind. Now they'll come. Don't get condemned. I'm telling you, those doubts will come like machine gun bullets, boy. But you got to resist those things and then think. You force yourself to think about it, the answer. You know? Like I had to with my back. That was just one good example. And I had to think, I am not going to stay like this. I am not going to go into a wheelchair. I will preach in South Korea again. I will stand and preach the gospel again. I just had to keep fighting it. But boy, if I just live by what I saw, I'm crawling on all fours to the bathroom from the couch. That's the devil's gospel. That's the picture he wanted me to have. You've got to have a different picture, my brothers and sisters. What is the opposite of love? Fear. What is the opposite of faith? Works. You did good. All right. We're going to go ahead and do the confessions now. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It does. When I make a petition, it helps me. And I keep it in a ring binder too, so I can refer back to it. It helps me remember the day that I believe I received when I prayed. And I don't ever ask Him again. I treat God like He's real. I mean, I'd be hurt, you know, if Cole said, "Papa, will you get me a bicycle for my birthday?" And I said, "Yes." Then 2 days later, "Will you get me a bicycle?" "Yes." 2 days later, "Will you get me a bicycle?" "Yeah." Boy, don't you think I heard you when you prayed? But we treat God like He's not real, see? Okay. There is a tremendous commercial on TV right now that illustrates what I'm talking about. In this commercial, there's a father about my age, maybe a little younger, about my age though. And he's standing at the car window. He's standing outside the car talking to his daughter who's sitting behind the driver's wheel, behind the steering wheel in the driver's seat. And they show a picture of her. She can't be more than 4 or 5 years old. But she's sitting there and he's saying things like, "Be sure tonight, I don't want you to get on the expressways. I don't think you're ready for that yet. I don't want you, all your friends to be in here gabbing. I want them to be quiet while you're driving the car, and be sure you obey the speed of." And every now and then it'll show this little girl about 5 years old. She's buckling her seatbelt and she's going, "Okay, daddy, okay." And he's giving her more instruction and he's all concerned, and she's about 5 years old. And then finally she says, "Okay, daddy." And at that moment she changes from being 5 years old to 16 years old. But the way he sees her, she's still 5 years old. Trust me when I say that is the way it is. That's the way it is still with my daughters. My daughters are right around 40 now. 2 years apart, hovered right around 40. They're still the apple of daddy's eye. They still can get, they come up, they put their little hands right like this, say, "Daddy, what do you want?" You know? Right at the same time, Erin, for crying out loud, she's the director of the ministry. I mean, she's the one that does all the data inputting and that answers the phones. And Kyle, he does the duplicating and sending out all this stuff. I mean, they work, they have jobs, they're raising kids. But see, in my sight, they're always, just that commercial is so right. Man, my first time I ever, my granddaughter, I got a grandson who's just turned 16. He's in that permit time. He doesn't get his, you know, he'll get his license in about 3 months. And I'm already, when I think about it, he's only six. No, he's 16. No, he's six. See? That commercial is so right. So you are a warrior. You're a manifested child of God, full grown like Jesus, ready to participate in the family business. But when you go to make your petition, "Daddy," he sees you like that little child. I know he does. He's got that same heart for you. Don't tell me he's not trying to answer your prayer. He's more interested in answering that prayer than you are praying it. Hallelujah. I love that commercial. I told Sue, first time I saw it, I said, "That's the way God feels right there." That's right. Okay. You're a warrior. You're a king. You're a priest. You're a child. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that?